Now, as we continue with our sermons in the book of Proverbs, if you would turn again this evening to chapter 24, we're going to read those first 14 verses once again, but for this evening, we're also going to read the last few verses of the chapter from verse 30 down to the end of the chapter. So that's Proverbs chapter 24, returning to the first 14 verses, but in addition to those, the last verses from verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsellors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn on to death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. And then in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. Last week in our sermons in this book of Proverbs, we looked at something of that great biblical word, understanding, and how vital it is for each and every one of us to have a right understanding with regards to the issues of our soul and the issues of our soul's salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour forevermore. The word understanding, as we said last week, is one of those words that belongs to a whole family of words or a whole category of words that appear to us and recur for us throughout the pages of the Word of God from beginning to end. And in a very real sense, in a particular way, in this particular part of the Word of God that the Lord has given to us through his servant Solomon, whom he raised up to set down these things before us. Some of the other words that belong to that particular family or that particular category of words are words like wisdom and knowledge and good counsel and so on. And we referred to some of these also out of the words of this chapter that we looked at last time. But it was the word understanding in particular that we concentrated on, and especially as that word does set before us the issues of the gospel that we're to know and understand indeed if ever we will know the blessings and the benefits of the gospel in our hearts and our lives. You remember again the word that our Lord spoke at that time when he stood before a multitude of people and when he preached to them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And he drew in all of those various aspects of the kingdom of God, the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the leaven that was hidden in the measures of flour and so on. And then as our Lord came to the word of application concerning all of the things that he had said, he asked that most searching question of his listeners, Have you understood all of these things, our Lord says? Have ye understood all of these things. They had listened to the things that the Lord had said, but had they understood the things that he had said? Had they understood the implications and the applications of those things which he had set before them? The blessings indeed of receiving aright the things that he had said, but the consequences of rejecting the things that he had set before them. Have ye understood all of these things? And it's never enough, my friends, to hear even the things of the Word of God to our souls, but we are called upon to have an understanding of those things and to understand those things in the way that we should. And so in our time together for last week, we took up those three cardinal points: the source of all the right knowledge and understanding and wisdom that we are to have, which of course is this word of the living God, that which Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, has just described as being like honey and like the honeycomb. They're also to look at what the central truth of the source of all the wisdom and understanding is. And as we saw, the central truth really of the Bible, of the Word of God, is a suffering and resurrected Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die and to rise again for the salvation of all who believe in his name. And then what is required of those who see that central truth, of course, is that believing. It is repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the passages that we cited, the one concerning the Ethiopian eunuch, well-known passage, but you remember, as that man was reading the scriptures, that passage out of Isaiah chapter 53, and when Philip drew near to him and asked him, "Understandest thou what thou readest? I see that you're reading the Bible, but do you understand what you are reading about? How can I," said the man, "except some man should guide me?" And as Philip then opened up the same passage, Isaiah chapter 53, then it says he preached unto him Jesus, a suffering and glorified Savior. And the end of the matter is that that man comes to make his great profession. "I believe," he says, "that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The one that he had been reading about, who had been led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he had come to understand that that was Christ. Christ suffering, Christ rising again in order to grant salvation. And so he says, "I believe," and he believed that that suffering servant of the Lord, that one led as a lamb to the slaughter, was none other than the very Son of God himself. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So out of the source, you see, of all the understanding, the Word of God, he had come to the central truth of a crucified and risen Savior, and he had responded in the way that he ought to have done to that great truth. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and as we're told later on, he went on his way rejoicing. So very simply, my friend, as you read the Bible, as you hear the Word of God preached or spoken or witnessed to, do you understand? Do you understand what is contained in the central truth of the Word of God? That it is Christ dying, rising again as the only way of salvation. And what is required is that very thing, repentance toward God for your sin, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior for your sins. Have ye understood all these things? Now then, in our time together for this evening, I just wanted to run over some of that briefly, because in our time for this evening, in the last few verses of this present chapter, the issue of understanding, in fact, comes up before us once again. It comes before us in the picture that Solomon draws for us there, under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God upon him. In the picture, the Lord's servant speaks about a man void of understanding. In verse 30 of the chapter, he says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." He then tells us that he considered that man and the things that belonged to that man. And he says as he considered those things, then he received instruction out of that consideration. And then in the last two verses of the chapter, he tells us what that instruction consisted of and what he learned by considering the ways of the man whom he saw to be void of understanding. So again, once again, it's the issue of understanding that is brought before us with another vital piece of understanding that we're to have in our hearts and our souls. So very simply then for this evening, I want us to look at that picture as such, as Solomon brings it before us, and then some of the applications of that picture in gospel terms. So have a look at the picture, and as Solomon draws the picture for us, or reflects on the picture, then he tells us about something that he saw, and something that he did, and something that he learned. Now, what he saw, of course, were those things that belonged to this slothful man, this man, as he says, who was void of understanding. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, we don't have vineyards as such in this part of the world, but isn't it easy to transfer that which Solomon saw and tells us what he saw, easily to transfer it over to a dozen and one kinds of situations in any part of the world, in this part of the world in which we live. This man possessed a field, and as Solomon was out walking, and it would appear one day, he passed by the field, and he saw the man's field, and it was all grown over with thorns and thistles, thorns and nettles, from one end of the field to the other. In the field, in the midst of the field, there was a vineyard. But the vineyard was in no different state to the field itself, and the thorns and the thistles and the nettles had enveloped the vineyard as well as the field. And then around the vineyard in the field, there should have been a wall which protected the vineyards in those days from the foxes or the wild beasts that would have got into the vineyard and would have spoiled the vineyard. But the wall, he says, was all broken down, and the stones of the wall were all scattered about, had all crumbled away, and there was only a heap where the wall should have stood. That's what Solomon saw in the picture that he draws for us under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God. In all probability, it was a picture taken from real life, a real incident. Perhaps he was out walking one particular day and he saw what he saw. But again, as the Spirit of God, guiding all the writers of the Word of God, brings this to his heart and his mind, so he sets it down on these pages of the Word of God for us. And as I say, easily transferable. Go out into any part of the country and you might well find a situation just like that. The man had a field and a vineyard and a wall surrounding the vineyard, but that which belonged to that particular man can find its application in many, many ways. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and though it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. That's what Solomon saw. Then he tells us what he did. And in his own words, he says he considered what he saw. He considered that sight that now spread itself out before him. Verse 30 again. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Then I saw and considered it well. I considered it well, he says. And if you want another of the Bible's great words, my friends, here is one of the Bible's great words for each and every one of us, that word consider. You remember on one occasion, as Paul writes to Timothy, that young man to whom he said that these scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And he says to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You see, virtually the same kind of truth as that truth from last week. Understand. Understand what? Understand that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. And now as he writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding. Remember, that's another great word of the Bible to our souls. And the word consider and the exercise of consideration is what the Lord's servant Solomon indulged in at that time in his life, when he passed by the field of this man who was void of understanding. So he came along. Now, he didn't give just a glance at the field, quite obviously. No, he gave due consideration to what he saw in that field. And he saw the field all grown up, and he saw the vineyard all choked about, and he saw the wall all broken down. He says, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and I found instruction. He tells us then, in fact, in the last two verses, what he learned from considering that field, that site, that day. And in verse 32 then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. What did Solomon learn out of the sight that he saw and his consideration of that sight? Well, in a word, my friends, he learned that most basic of gospel facts. He learned that not doing what should be done when it ought to be done has consequences attached to it at the end of the day. That's what he learned as he saw the sight and considered the sight and gleaned instruction out of the sight. That not doing what should be done when it ought to be done has consequences attached to it at the end of the day. You see, how had the man's field become overgrown? How had his vineyard become choked and enveloped? How had the wall got into that terrible state in which Solomon now came to view it? And very simply, the man hadn't seen to his vineyard. The man hadn't cultivated his field. The man hadn't maintained the wall around the vineyard. And my friends, as he hadn't done that, then of course that's how it had ended up in the state in which it was. That's what Solomon learned. And when it comes to the issues of the gospel, there is no word more pronounced in the gospel, my friends, that God tells us to see to the salvation of our souls in time. Because to refuse or to refrain from seeing to the salvation of our souls in time will have eternal consequences forever and forevermore. You see, if you want to link up with that understanding from last week, what are we to understand when it comes to the issues of our soul salvation? And what we are to understand, my friends, is this, that salvation resides in Jesus Christ alone. And what we're to understand then in the light of that understanding is that God requires us to repent and believe the gospel. But on top of that, from this passage of the Word of God, what we are to understand is that God requires us to repent and believe the gospel now, while it is yet called today. And you see, he's simply speaking, my friends, about those people who put things off and put things off until the consequences come upon them. that mightn't matter very much with some of the things in this present world and in this present life. But with regards to the gospel, my friends, that has dire consequences. And that's why the Bible from end to end keeps pressing up that point. And not to understand that point is to be a man or a woman or a young person void of understanding. You see, that's the point. This man let his field go the way that it was because he was void of understanding. Either he refused to see it or didn't see it or couldn't see it. But he simply let things go the way they were going until the consequences would come upon him. So you see the picture. Solomon saw this field all grown over, this vineyard in a desolate state, this wall all broken down. How did it get like that? Maybe it was a fair and flourishing field and vineyard at one point. How did it get into that state in which it now was? Well, obviously, through things being left undone that should have been done. Who did the field belong to? Well, he says it belonged to a slothful man, a man void of understanding, who obviously didn't see that most basic fact of all. And what would be the outcome? Well, he says it will be poverty and robbery. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. That's the attitude of the man. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's a picture within a picture. And what he's speaking about is this: somebody on a journey, and along comes a brigand, a robber, a highwayman, and he takes away anything that the traveller seemed to have. And he says at the end of the day then, this man is going to be robbed of anything that he possessed because he left undone what should have been done. Isn't it a clear, simple application to our souls? One that keeps coming time after time after time on the pages of God's Word. And here again, it comes before us in this particular way in which it does. In one of Solomon's other great books, the book of Ecclesiastes, you have very, very famous words: to everything there is a season, and to a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You see, almost referring, if you like, to the man with the field. And this as well: a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. You see, the wall, the field, the vineyard, everything should have been seen to in the time that they should have been seen to. And because they weren't seen to, then comes the consequences at the end of the day for that man. And that man was one void of understanding. And my friends, please take it as sincerely out of the Word of God and from the Lord, that God sets before us in time the way of the gospel and the conditions of the gospel, and he calls upon us to act in the light of those conditions to the saving of our souls. A couple of words, three timely words, as you might say, from three old saints of another age. Old William Mason says, now listen well, if we put off repentance another day, we have a day more to repent of, and a day less to repent in. Another old saint called Francis Quarles, and he says, he that has promised pardon on our repentance has not promised to preserve our lives until we repent. Don't get the promises of God all mixed up. And Thomas Fuller says, you cannot repent too soon because you do not know how soon it will be too late. That's why the Bible keeps saying, today, 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 today you will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. And as Solomon sees all of this scene before him, the lesson that he learns out of it is this: this man, void of understanding, behaved in the way that he did, and the consequences were assured at the end of the day. Can you take that in the gospel? If you need it in the gospel to your soul, my friends, don't promise yourself that tomorrow or the next day or someday you're going to believe. The Bible calls you to believe now, while the gospel is presented, while it is the day of grace, and surely the experiences of life, as well as the word of God from end to end, assures us that not one of us has any guarantee but the last breath that we breathe. That's the only guarantee that we have with regards to the length of our days. So the picture then is set before us. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man, void of understanding. It was grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And by the grace of God, you take the instruction, the lesson that Solomon learnt, and apply it to your heart and soul. Well, what about the applications, or some more applications, perhaps we could say? And I'm sure it won't have escaped your notice that Solomon is once again, you would say, returning to one of the characters. Now, I'll not say a favorite character in the sense that he favored him, but one of the favorite characters by way of pressing the truth of God on our soul, that slothful man again, you see, called in other places the sluggard. And as you read the book of Proverbs, in so many places, this sluggard, this slothful one, this one that keeps putting off what should be done, is brought before us over and over again. And I'm sure the great passage with regards to that concerning the sluggard, the slothful man, out of the book of Proverbs, with the issue of consideration brought before us as well, is in that chapter 6, where he's first mentioned for the first time in the book. If you want to turn back there then, and just to refresh ourselves with regards to those great words that are presented to us. Chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 6, an exhortation to our souls. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. If you like, the man void of understanding. If you're like that tonight, my friend, if you don't understand that there is a day of grace and a day of judgment, that there is time and eternity, then the exhortation is to go to the ant and consider her ways. And it's one of those lovely places of the Word of God, of which there are many, where our God, you see, pressing home the truth to our souls, presses home the truth from the very things of nature itself, from the world in which we live. Solomon, as I've said already, no doubt is drawing from his experience that day when he passed by the field of this slothful man, this man void of understanding, under the hand of God then. That experience becomes incorporated into the Word of God for our understanding and for our learning. And God constantly does that so that we are without excuse. God constantly sets before us the things of nature, the natural things, so that we can understand the spiritual things and the eternal things that we ought to know and understand. The heavens declare the glory of God, says David, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The very air that we breathe, the very ground that we walk upon, is full of those things that we are to know. And in this place, you see, God in his mercy and grace through Solomon his servant brings in one of those natural illustrations to teach us spiritual truth. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. And when the Lord does the things that he does along that line, he does those things just right. God takes, my friends, his very creation, very beasts of the field, to teach us lessons. In the book of Isaiah, when the nation of Israel have rebelled against the Lord and disowned the God of their salvation, then the Lord speaks to them. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. You see the point of that. As we don't know the feelings of an ox really, but as you would look on that great big hulking beast, you would be inclined to say that it can't have many fine feelings about it. That would be to the natural eye. But says the Lord, in fact, that great big hulking beast of the field has more sensitivity than Israel has towards me. The ox knoweth its owner. And even the ass, surely, proverbial for its stubbornness, even the ass knows its master's crib. But Israel, he says, my people. And you see the piercing nature of that which God takes up in those two beasts of the field to drive home the truth that he wants to drive home on that particular occasion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks about a hen gathering her chicks under her wings, well, that's got a point to it. And you see, what he's speaking about really is when the clouds loom, when the thunder begins, the chicks scurry into the place of safety under the wings of the hen. There is a doom looming for the city of Jerusalem. And I would have gathered you, he says, under my wings like a hen gathereth her chickens, but ye would not. They couldn't see the doom that was coming upon them, you see. Even the chickens had more sense than the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem. And even from his position in glory, when he spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, you remember, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And our Lord there is using that behavior of a farmer with the ox treading out the corn. And when the ox would hold back from treading out the corn, the farmer would jab the goad into the heel of the ox to make it hurry up. Well, there are many pricks being delivered to you, says the risen Savior. He'd listened to Stephen. He'd seen God's people. He'd seen their witness and their testimony, even when he was persecuting them on to death. And he was feeling the pricks, and says the Lord, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so you see, in that way, my friends, so many references to the natural things of life in order to teach us the spiritual, internal things of life. And that's God's grace in the gospel. And to reject the grace of God in the gospel, my friends, only heaps up a person's condemnation. Isn't it a long-suffering thing? Even when somebody says, I'll tell you it again. I'll tell you it again, I'll tell you it again. Let me put it to you this way, or this way, or this way. That's the Bible and the message of the gospel delivered to us in so many numerous ways. And without wanting to differentiate between the beasts of the field, the ox and the ass, and the hen and the chicken. Don't you see how pointed Solomon's word is here with regards to the slothful man or woman? He says, go to the ant. Go to the ant. And if you wanted to compare and contrast that great big hulking beast, the ox. And God doesn't only take, my friends, the beasts of the field, but the very insects of the field to pierce our souls with regards to our behavior. And that's the point. If the sluggard, the slothful person needs a lesson, God could have given many, many lessons and many, many illustrations to drive home the lesson. But he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. And the behavior of the ant, of course, is, well, that's proverbial as well, but in this case, you see, the Lord is speaking about one main feature of the ant. We can all see all the way that it constructs its home and provides the army and all the rest. But one main feature here, namely, that without guide, he says, or overseer or ruler, the ant knows that it must make provision for a coming day and that it must make the provision while it is still called today. That's the one main point as the Lord takes up Solomon, sets before the slothful man the example of the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in harvest. You see, the ant knows what to do when it ought to be done, so that the consequences aren't dire at the end of the day. The ant knows that. The ant knows that, my friend. Without guide, overseer, ruler, doesn't have to be compelled to do it or coerced to do it, doesn't need a king over it, whipping it to do it. No, no, says the word of God. The ant knows to do it. The ant's got enough understanding to do it. And this man who didn't see to his field and his vineyard and his wall, what was he? A man void of understanding. Void of understanding. And it's one thing, and we have to understand the gospel. We have to understand the way of having the gospel in our souls. To understand the gospel is through Jesus Christ alone. To understand that it is by repentance and faith that we receive the blessings of the gospel. But we're to understand that it is today that the Bible calls us to receive the gospel, because we have no guarantee whatsoever what the morrow will bring forth. One of the classical passage, solemn, sobering passage, that time when Israel kept sinning and sinning and sinning against the Lord. And the Lord said, there is a day coming when you will know the consequences of this sin. And eventually then, he carried them away into the land of Babylon to be captive there as a nation for all of those period of time. The Lord's final assessment, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And the captivity comes, and they come to see the consequences. The harvest is past, they say. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. God gave space to repent. We didn't repent in the space that God gave, and now it's as though the harvest is over, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now I ask you, you take that and lift it out of that plural or that application to Israel as a nation, and bring it into the singular with regards to yourself. And my friend, I pray to God that you won't waken up in eternity and say that the summer is ended, the day of salvation is past, the day of eternity has come, and I am not saved. And let me tell you this, the great way that you will realize that you're not saved is that you will realize that you're damned, and damned forever. You see, I can't make up the gospel. I pray, my friends, that we never, ever take on any notion of accommodating the gospel. It's God who gives the gospel. It's Christ who declares the terms of the gospel, and he has every right to do it because he procured it with his own life's blood. And to reject that gospel while it is still called today, my friends, that is to show ourselves void of understanding. This man, you see, in his sloth, in his indifference, well, he just let things go just a bit at a time. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. By little strokes, men fell great oaks. Little by little by little, until the field and the vineyard and the wall had come to the state in which Solomon now saw them. And as he saw that field and that vineyard and that wall in that state, then he says, I looked and considered it. I received instruction. And the instruction that he received was this, that not to do what ought to be done when it ought to be done has consequences at the end of the day. And you know, to go back to that ant, sometimes we think, oh, well, in that day, perhaps I'll be condemned or judged or whatever, embarrassed. And there will be all those mighty figures that I will have to stand in the shadow of, like Abraham and Paul and Peter and so on. But you see, isn't it a terrible thing? Listen, if God takes up an ant in the palm of his hand, and that ant is the agent in your condemnation. The ant knew what to do, and you didn't know what to do. Go to the ant. Consider her ways. She knows what to do when it ought to be done, and she does it. And that's the whole picture. That's the whole addition to the business of understanding, my friends. We are to understand how the gospel came about through Jesus Christ, suffering and dying and rising again. We're to understand what is required of us, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to understand that those things are required of a man or a woman or a young person while it is still called today. That's the point. Do you understand the lesson of this slothful man, my friend? This man void of understanding that the word of God is setting before us tonight. You see, what we're to envisage surely is this man, having been left this field and this vineyard and so on. You see, all he needed to do, really, was to cultivate the ground, dress the vines, keep the wall in good repair. It was obviously handed over to him. That's all he needed to do, but he didn't do what he should have done, and now the whole thing lay in ruins. And that's got plenty of applications. Remember the prodigal son? And the prodigal son was the young man who received from his father, in that sense, his inheritance. And he went away from home with his inheritance. And you get that assessment of the father when he eventually comes back. He says, my son was dead, and now he's alive again. But we're told what constituted that deadness in that sense, and it was this, that he went away into a far country, it says, and he wasted his substance on riotous living. Now, never mind the language, just see what it sets before us. He was given something. Given something in that sense from his father. What did he do with what his father had given him? He wasted it. He dissipated it, my friends. We've been given a life from God, but we've been given a life from God by which we're to honor God and glorify God and not waste that life in whatever way we may be wasting that life. And in gospel terms, that's what the prodigal wasting his substance on riotous living sets before us. The father had given him all that wherewithal, and he wasted those things that had been given to him. In the book of Daniel, you've got a vivid incident. That man, King Belshazzar, and there was a drunken orgy one night in his palace, and to crown all of that dissipated time, he sent to bring the vessels of the temple that had been carried away to Babylon, and they took and they desecrated and violated those vessels from the temple. That's when Daniel came, when the writing had appeared in the wall, and Daniel interpreted the writing. They're weighed in the balances and found wanting. But the summing up is this, my friends. Belshazzar, the God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified? You see? That's his sin. That's what sums up all of his behavior. The God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified? God has given us a life to live. But in the words of the Catechism, the great end purpose of that life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And the man was given his field and his vineyard, and he should have taken what had been given. And instead of neglecting it, my friends, and coming into the consequences of his neglect at the end, he should have used what was given to him and known the benefits and the blessings of it. You see, that's the other side of the whole business. See, here was this man. All the wherewithal was at his disposal in reality so that he could have lived a prosperous and a secure life. And in his neglecting of what had been given to him, he was neglecting what could have supplied him, what could have made him secure all his lifetime through. And isn't that the gospel, my friends? Don't be neglectful of what God has given you for your blessings, good of your soul, forevermore. Don't be neglectful of the life that God has given. You may be the least slothful person in a dozen and one ways that anybody could imagine. Diligent in many things, hard-working in many things, far from slothful in many things, but yet, in the issue of your soul, you're like this man, void of understanding, who took the things that were given to him and through his neglect, ended up in poverty at the end. In the Song of Solomon, the bride of the Song of Solomon says, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." And you see what she's saying? She's saying, I was given this job to do, and I did it well. But there was another job that I was neglectful of. The outward things of life I saw to and was diligent in, but the inward things of my never-dying soul, those were the things I neglected. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Do you understand? Do you understand what you are to understand? Take away the picture, my friends. Take away the lesson. Understand what you must do. You must believe the gospel, but understand that you must believe the gospel while it is called today. All the issues of time and eternity, all the issues of the length of your days and my days, those are in the hands of God. I don't know anything about those things. You don't know anything about those things. But the message of the Word of God is abundantly clear that whether your days be short or long, today is the day that God calls you to believe in Christ and enter into everlasting life. I passed by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Don't be void of understanding, my friends. Understand all the issues of life and death, the gospel of your soul's salvation, and by the grace of God, you fulfill that which God sets before you and believe unto everlasting life. So the Lord says, why will you die? Here is set before you the open door. Believe, and you shall be saved.